Hey, Bill and Gunnan, welcome to Black Law Tribal Edition, our first program for the year. That is 2019, if you're using the Roman calendar. And, g'day, how are you going? I hope you had a really good break over the summer. Or if you're back at work, I hope you're enjoying it. And if you're not at work, well, keep enjoying it as well. With us is Ganyara, as usual. And, did you have a good break?
Well, you never have a break, business is business and we just keep going. It's been a rather good period so far, and it's good to be back on air again.
Yeah, well, it's been, depends where you were, but I've been travelling around the continent a little bit, but it's been hot and cold and a bit of mixed weather. But usually in January, there's two dates that come to mind. January 7, which is Yidinji National Day. And then the Australians celebrate January 26, which is what we're talking about today as well. So, explain the difference between the two. Obviously, two separate days, but two different, jurisdictions and milestones.
It really is. It's worlds apart. I say worlds apart because there's no treaty yet. But as you said, January 7 and January 26, they are two different things. January 7 is the Yidinji Day. This is the day when really the Yidinji government got back on its feet again. And funnily enough, it was under a tree we done this. This is going back a few years now. And it was decided this is the day that it's got to be, and Yidinji is back. And we want to talk to Australia and do the right thing by Australia and our people. That's the main thing, is our people. And in saying that... January 26th is not our day. That belongs to Australia and all Australian citizens. And rightly so. They can choose whatever day they like. We can't force them to choose another day. We don't want them to choose another day. We have our day, and they can't force us to change our day. This is the powers of a nation, to make whatever day you want resemble whatever you... or to represent whatever you want to represent. And we've chosen January 7th. Because this is actually the day that we did sit under the tree and all the elders sat down and said, yeah, this is what we want. We want to come back and do this. And it's been done and created and been going for years now. Australia have chosen January 26th, which, it was never always January 26th. There are other days when they had Australia Day on. But this time recently they said, okay, January 26th it'll be for Australia Day. And that's Australia, the jurisdiction of Australia, the nation that doesn't have consent to be here yet upon our territory. We've always had consent to be on our territory, and January 7 is the day of the reforming of the government, back in a modern capacity now. But we got that consent from the elders of the tribe, the real old people who held law, who held custom, who held everything. And they said, this is the wish of the tribe now. So it has consent, legitimacy to be here. Unlike the Commonwealth of Australia, which is another jurisdiction, it doesn't have consent to be here yet. And we've really got to understand that law is in the mind of men and women. It's in our minds only. What is it really? You don't see it written in nature anywhere. Animals don't abide by it. They have their own, I suppose, way of dealing with each other. But it's not written down as a codified law in any way, shape or form. So this is all man-made stuff.
Well, it is. And I know it always stirs up a lot inside of Australia. That is a lot of emotion between people, who share the same space, let's say. And there's a lot of confusion and disarray with that, and a lot of trauma that's been carried in there and conducted in there. And one of the interesting things I thought would listen to today was the former NITV journalist and Triple J presenter, Brooke Bone, who now works for one of the commercial channels in the morning program now. She's got an actual... a very, very interesting audience, and that is a mainstream audience. And this is what she had to say about Australia Day. Let's have a look.
wonderful that we have a diversity of views. We're a country with a diversity of cultures, and I think, Brooke, you can bring some elements of this debate too, because you yourself have some personal experience from this.
Totally. I'm a part of that community. So I'm a Gamilaroi woman. My family's from northern New South Wales, been there for about 60,000 years or so. But the date, this date, I know it comes up every year, and I'm not trying to tell anyone else what they should be doing or how they should be celebrating, but I feel like I have almost more reason than anyone else to love this country as much as I do, because I'm the oldest of six kids, single mum, and I get to sit here on the Today Show and talk to you guys about this. I get to travel around the world with the Prime Minister and ask him questions about our issues. This is the best country in the world, no doubt. But I can't separate the 26th of January from the fact that my brothers are more likely to go to jail than they are to go to school, or that my little sisters and my mum are more likely to be beaten and raped than anyone else's sisters or mum. And that started from that day. So for me, it's a difficult day and I don't want to celebrate it. But any other day of the year, I'll tie an Australian flag around my neck and I'll run through the streets with anyone else.
But why should any other day be different than the January 26th?
Because that's the first day, that's the day that it changed for us, you know? That's the sort of the beginning of what some people would say is the end. That's the turning point.
So do you want Australia Day to not be a celebration, or do you want the day changed?
Well, I don't want to tell anyone what they should be doing.
No, but this is
doing.
Just your view. I mean, everyone's got their view and everyone's welcome to
it. My view is, you know, like, move it to the first, you know, to the Day of Federation, chuck on another public holiday at the end, or just celebrate it on another day. But I think a day that suits more people is probably going to be more uniting.
Isn't it also a situation, and this is where I get not angry about it, but upset about it in a lot of ways, is that why should it be an us versus them? You know, one of the elders there in Christina Hearn's piece spoke about, let's all celebrate this country. Mm. But it seems that we can't do that. We can never get our head around that. There's always got to be this great divide.
But isn't that, can I just jump in there? Isn't that because of precisely what we've just seen? We have seen people living in a community in a way that we don't see white Australians living. And it is just appalling to see a community in a civilised country like Australia without electricity, without running water. I mean, this is just, you know, third world conditions. It's horrific.
I don't doubt that whatsoever, and we see it firsthand there. But I'm sorry, but we do see white Australians in similar situations. We do see, you know, kids going to school without lunch. We see kids going to school without a school uniform.
But TJ, you know what? Like, the statistics tell us that our lives are harder. And that's not me making it up or saying, woe is me, or feel sorry for me, because I don't want anyone to feel sorry for me. But what I'm talking to are the statistics. And that's what I said to you about my brothers being more likely to go to jail. Mm. Our lives being harder. And for it not to be an us and them thing, I think that's why we're talking about it changing.
Yeah, but it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be an us versus them, you know.
And I wish it wasn't.
Yeah.
Well, I think the fact that we're actually having a grown-up conversation about it is the real starting point. And we should be able to do that without people feeling that they can't voice their views, because we welcome them all. So keep those views coming to
absolutely.
Us here on the show.
And thank you for the insight, Brooke.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I'm more than happy to talk about this stuff. I love it.
And it must be so heartening to see someone like Pat Cash also helping to shine a light.
100%.
Yeah, and if only he lived in Australia full time.
Oh, TJ. I love it. Keep it real. TJ. Keep your views coming. We'll air some more of them a little bit later on the show.
So some interesting words there. Obviously, you know, that it's a good honour for having a yarn. And, but I guess that it's always going to be one of these things where the Yidinji Nation, through its government, has made it very clear that we're not interested in changing the date. But interesting now, that conversation within Australia is now from change the date to change the nation. I see a lot of Indigenous people who live inside of Australia say change the nation now, not change the date. I think it's slightly getting there, that message.
It really is. And, you know, look, I take my hat off to her for saying what she said. But there's just a little bit of misunderstanding or a lack of comprehension of who and what we really are, of what identity is, of what personality is, of what jurisdiction is. And sadly, it's not taught in mainstream school. We're not a person. We hold persons. Where does a person come from a jurisdiction? It's just made under a law of that jurisdiction. And we're seen legally in that jurisdiction through that person. So our jurisdiction, the Yidinji one, it has legal personalities or legal fictions, we'll call them whatever you want. And yeah, that's why we have this day called January 7, that we call it our national day. We don't call January 26 our national day. It's got nothing to do with us. We were never part of Australia. We were left right out. were excluded. If you look in the National Archives of Australia, they actually say the Aboriginal people were excluded from the Commonwealth of Australia, so we were never in there. And, she was saying, well, the day holds a lot of emotion for her. Well, it does. She's a woman, but I think she's Gamilaroi or something like that. A woman who of tribal ancestry whose ancestors did face the onslaught of the white Australia coming in, the British outpost in the Southern Pacific. And it was sad. You know, there's nothing we can do about that. History is history. The past is past. And we've got to remember that. But Australia has chosen the day, January 26th, to be their representation of their national day of when the British basically first landed in Australia, you know, when they started setting up camp. Started to actually steal the place. And, you know, as you said, it's very emotionally charged. Well, I was reading an article the other day there about a young schoolgirl who actually wrote a letter to the government. And this little girl got it right. She wrote a letter. She feels sad because this is the day Australia stole, and she uses the word stole, the land from all the Aboriginal nations. So this little girl can get it right. The government know. They know what happened. They're not stupid. But how do you tell the Australian people this is all stolen country? And when does stolen country become good again? When does it not become stolen property anymore? And that can only become good. The property can only become good or made good through a proper treaty, something that they don't have yet. And this little girl went on to, in her letter, to say, we murdered a lot of people or killed a lot of people, a lot of Aboriginal people, yes. So she was saying we got to change that. Australia has to change the date. Now, I think Australia should leave January 26th right where it is as a remembrance of what they had actually done, perpetrated in their past. You know, this is the day we stole the place type stuff, you know. So I think leave January 26th right where it is. But the nation does need to rebuild itself and sort itself out. It's in a hell of a mess. And we've been saying this for a few years now. There is no way that the nation can force anyone to partake in its constitution, in the life of its state. They can't force you to do anything. You've got a choice to do it. You've got a choice to take part in the life of the state. And as soon as you do, you agree that January 26th is the day called Australia Day. That's as simple as it is. Don't try and change it. You agreed to take part in Australia. So leave Australia Day right where it is. But
yeah, one of the things, I mean, the Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, the Australian one that is, has just announced that it's back in communities across the country to mark the 250th anniversary of Captain James Cook's first voyage to Australia and the Pacific. This is a press release of his. In addition to millions of dollars projects for the Cooktown 2020 Festival, the Morrison government will provide $6.7 million to the Australian National Maritime Museum, da-da-da-da. But, I mean, this is the type of thing that they do, and it's, you know, fair enough. I don't think there's a campaigner to change the date for Anzac Day or change the date for Christmas or things like that, because they're there because of certain things in place. They may not be the right things from people's point of view. Certainly, Christmas has got nothing to do with me or Mother's Day or anything else like that, but I think it's really important to know what they are. But in saying that, if you choose to, like you said, to partake in the state, they're there for, I mean, for sure, you probably have a civic right inside of Australia to talk about that, fair enough. But, like I said, there is a lot of conversation now about, it was changed the date. Now a lot of Aboriginal Australians that I know are saying change the nation. And that's probably something a lot more easier for them, because I don't think it's ever going to change the date from January 26th. Because it's just one of those things that is burnt into the minds of the Australian psyche.
It really is. And in saying that, they need to change the nation. The intention of the Commonwealth of Australia is best summed up by Prime Minister Curtin. It's the British outpost in the South Pacific. Now, this was back in 1941, I think it was. It's got nothing to do with Yidinji. We were never part of Australia. You know, we were never a British outpost in the South Pacific. The Commonwealth of Australia is. And when you choose to enter into something, into a nation like that, you actually take up membership in there. When you're entering something like that, understand the terms and conditions of membership. And that's all it is. You've got to understand that you choose to enter into there. They're not forcing you in. You choose to enter it and use it. And yes, one of the all the important days are all marked on a calendar. Australia Day, Christmas, Easter, all that sort of stuff is all marked on there. And yes, you agree to those days being right where they are. Remember, this is, like you said, they're going to honour Captain Cook's voyage to the South Pacific. He was British, wasn't he? Sure was. This is part, he come down and worked out there's an island here, or a continent, whatever you want to call it, that would be handy for an outpost in the South Pacific for the British. So that's why it's the White Australia policy. This is it all over. We can sum it all up in these words, the White Australia policy. Now, to revamp a nation, you've got to change the intention of that document. You've got to change the intention of the Constitution of Australia, and that is the White Australia. We were never in there, hence the White Australia policy. We were excluded.
Yeah, our, still are.
We still are. Yeah, absolutely. That's why it's still the White Australia policy. I think it was Mark Latham, said, you know, this is the White Australia. And he's dead right. I'll back him 100% on that. He is dead right. Even though a lot of Aboriginal people took offence to it, he was 100% correct. He was dead right. Now, I think it was this time last year, Senator Scullion made a statement that no Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander person had approached him to change January 26th. He was dead right. Who had approached him, though, were Australian persons being held by Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander men and women. But these persons were Australians because there's no treaty. So he was 100% correct. Yidinji made comment to him at a meeting, said, look, we don't care about January 26th. It's got nothing to do with us. We were excluded. How many other Aboriginal nations' representatives have actually said that in their true and correct capacity to Senator Scullion? So he was dead right, 100% right again.
I mean, would it make sense that a Yidinji man or woman should say America should change its independence, say, from July 4th because whatever reason? It's just got nothing to do with us. It's that foreign. And people need to get that in their mind now, that Australia is foreign to the tribal society. Do not mix it up. If you're going to go into a nightclub, you've got to dance to that music. If you don't like that music, don't go into that club. If you're there by whatever means, you get out and, you know, and start your own club or start offering titles to the people in the club to play their music there. I mean, this is how simple it is. But you know what? We can make it as simple as that. A lot of people will still want to say inside there and try and change within. Fair enough. Good on you. But at the end of the day, have at least consider what we're talking about now.
Now you see the reasoning behind they need to change the nation. They need to change the White Australia policy. They need to change the intention of the Constitution. The intention of the Constitution was White Australia, the British outpost. Okay, we were never in there. You've got to now change the intention of that document to say, will we let the Aboriginal people into Australia? Yes or no? Into the Commonwealth of Australia. When I say it, not the geographical thing, the jurisdiction. Can these Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people utilise or use or be seen through our persons that we create? Yes or no? So the Australians have got to have a referendum. So they've got to revamp their nation now to be a multicultural nation by allowing these people that were excluded to allow them in. It's as simple as that. And then when they do that, the tribes must take a vote amongst their own members to say, do we want to join up or not? Are the terms and conditions suitable for us to get in there and be seen equally as all other Australians are seen? It won't be the White Australia anymore. It'll be the multicultural Australia. They still haven't changed that constitution yet. It's so simple, and yet it's so hard for them. So now, yes, they are right. Change the nation. The dates can all stay the same. And we can choose, Yidinji can choose, to enter into Australia or can choose to stay out of Australia. It's choice. Read Article 5 of UNDRIP. They have the right to participate in the life of the state if they so choose. What if we don't so choose? It's entirely up to us.
Yeah, and their rights that were created by a foreign body anyway, we can just say, well, we want to participate or not, but you know, put the question back on them. Well, didn't you say this? Didn't you agree to this? So I think it's about holding them to their actions and their statements. But you're listening to Blackfield Tribal Edition right across the planet today, thanks to the National Indigenous Radio Service. And we'll be back after the break. Welcome back, Black Lord Tribal Edition, Murumu and Ganyara with you today, and Happy New Year and all that, if you celebrate that kind of stuff. It's 2019 for most of the people around the planet, And I guess it's one step closer to a treaty, we would say. But, yeah, it's not going to happen overnight, but you've got to build it. And that's, this is the thing now. I think we've seen a lot of change in the last 4 to 5 years, Brother Ganyara. But it's a change that's not going to change the date of a nation. We're not interested in that. We're not interested in a lot of the things, changing the Australian flag. It's got nothing to do with the Yidinji. So what we're trying to do is to give this thing, whatever it is called, the Commonwealth of Australia, a place to stay, is the way, I think the best way to say that. Now, you know, they've got this paper world and this magical realm. Fair enough. Yidinji has the land and the sea and the sky and the proper dominion and the title to it. So, you know, this is what you've got to realise, I think, for a lot of people out there. If you're listening to this program, one, if you are in a position that you're from the tribal society, you have the true and correct pedigree from that tribal nation, then have a look at setting up your own government. But don't mix it up with Australia. And for those people who are in Australia, you should be supporting the tribal societies that are trying to help you. And I think that's why we get, you know, there's not a lot of objection to what the Yidinji government's doing, in that, you know, we're not interested in money. I think we've made that very clear. We're not interested in Australian money. We don't want any type of stuff. We sort of, well, it's just paper and stuff, really, at the end of the day. It's hard for people to believe that, but, you know, I think they there is some sort of magic attached to it, for sure.
There really is, and actually, it's just funny you mention that. We've had no objections to what we're doing. Even that meeting there recently with senators of Australia. And one of them said, geez, you have been most generous to Australia considering what Australia's done to you. You have been very generous, the most generous we've ever seen from anyone. Because normally everyone goes there with their hand out asking for stuff from Australia. We do everything off our own bat. We actually want to give Australia stuff. We want to give it somewhere to be. And, yeah, she made that comment, which really, you know, it makes you stop and reflect upon what you're doing. How many Australians have actually offered to Australia what Yidinji has offered to it? You know, a place to be, a place to call home, a place that they can call, it's their territory, this is our place to be. No one. No one that I'm aware of, because everyone wants to go to the government and say, give me money, give me something. If you're going to them asking for something, that means you're not a nation, you're just an Australian, you're just a beggar, basically. You've got to go and reform yourself. You really must reassert your sovereignty. And there's actually an interesting court case about that, where the judge said no one's going to give you sovereignty. It's, you know, no one's going to give you nothing. It's what you're going to assert as your sovereignty. And that's what Yidinji has done, holus bolus. We didn't play around. We said we'll give stuff to Australia. We'll grant it title if it needs to be equal to us. We will do what it takes to try and get Australia in its true and correct standing correctly this time as our representative in the international world. They can't force us to appoint them as the administrator. They can't force us to do anything. It's up to us to make the choice. And as an Aboriginal nation, a tribal nation, we've done that 100%. And that's why the senator said, gee, you're so generous. A land title of all things, you know. We've actually got our register together to house our land titles. We've got our register together of citizens. We've got our register together of all our legislation. How many other nations have done this? That's why the Aboriginal nation should really consider what Yidinji has done. We're not saying it's right or wrong in any way, shape or form. But as we were told only 18 months, 2 years ago, we're probably 20 to 30 years ahead of all the other Aboriginal lots in this treaty process. And it makes it difficult.
Now, I want to make it very clear, you know, because I don't want to offend anyone. But if you've got a government and you formed a government and you're going to Australia and asking for money, then you might have an issue with your sovereignty. If you formed a government and you're still using Australian identities and Australian thing as part of your government, then you may not be asserting your sovereignty. You can't have a leg in each camp, a foot in each camp. You can't serve two masters. So this is what it really, really comes down to. And I know it's difficult because everyone I talk to says, well, what about this, what about that? I know it's hard because, well, I'm living it and we are living it. But it's no more different than being poor in Australia and being on this side because there is no money. So we're used to it. This is the big part of it now. We're used to living without money because inside of Australia there's very few billionaires, black fellas I'm talking about now. So that transition from being a poor Australian to poor Yidinji, a poor tribal man or woman without money, is quite an easy transition. But what is difficult is the comprehension and knowing who you are, who you're not, and what you're not. This is a really thing you've been told all your life about this one thing, one way of doing things. You know there's other way, but you don't really know how it fits in. So I would say, have a think about this. Step back, have a look. Why isn't it working? When I was a child, deaths in custodies, Indigenous incarceration in Australia, poor housing in Australia. I look today, I see similar discussions happening now. How long ago was that? Well, it's still going on, and it can't be fixed within Australia. It can be remedied here and there, but governments come and go, policies change, people come and go, people change. What doesn't change is the fact that the tribal nations have this sovereignty, which is the ultimate sovereignty. It is the highest form of law which comes from the Creator. And that's what this is all about. And if people don't believe in God and whatnot, then fair enough. Then good luck. Because any black fellow that doesn't believe in God is, you know, sort of denying their own existence because they've got the creative spirit and, you're sort of in a bit of a sticky situation, I guess. But anyway, that's what I'm talking about. Now, have a think about that. About going back to that law and having a think about it because it's just really we've been talking about this for a long time now, but it's such an easy thing to talk about, but it's difficult to grasp for some.
For us it's very easy, very, very easy. You know, as you just rightly said, what have the Aboriginal people got to lose? What have they got to lose? Nothing. They haven't got, you know, multi-million dollar house titles that they're going to lose. Most of them are living very, very poor, very rough. You know, it's not a joke. It's deadly serious, this stuff. These people they had the best life. And now to be denigrated down to this low level is just unbelievable. They've got nothing to lose to do this. So I'd say, look, consider it. Understand it. And the biggest thing to comprehend out of this is the walking around thing, you know, the human thing, the body thing. It doesn't belong to anyone. It belongs to the creator of the universe, whatever, whoever. You know, we call him Guppy here. That's who we belong to. That is not Australia or Yidinji. This is belonging to him. And he gives us this area to look after, and he called us Yidinji. So our law comes from there. But we are not the law. We belong to the creator. We are not Australian. Even if we do enter Australia, our body thing is still not Australian. It's the identity, the personality that is Australian. We've got to understand we are not the identity. We're just holding and using the identity to be seen legally and politically in a jurisdiction that is not of the Creator's creation. It is not his world. We created that somehow in our mind. So you've got to understand these man-made things, personalities. That's the most important thing. We are not that. We are just holding and using them, like I keep saying, like we hold a cup to drink a cup of tea with. We hold the cup to put the tea in. And that's all this personality thing does. Just we hold it to do a certain thing for us. And that is to be seen legally and politically in a jurisdiction where we can control each other. It's as simple as that. But we are actually just an animal. The body thing is just an animal like a wallaby, like a bandicoot or a possum. It's just a body. It is not Australian. It is not Yidinji. It's nothing. It's the creator stuff. Understand this very, very important part. Once you get that, then all this becomes so easy. And then you can set up your government so easy. We can just flex in and out of jurisdictions now. I'm Australian, I'm Yidinji, I'm Australian, I'm Yidinji. I can just go in and out. I know this stuff inside out. Just like the Queen of England is the Queen of Australia, Queen of Jamaica, Queen of everything else. She can move in and out of jurisdictions because she understands the body. That old grey-haired old lady is not any of those, but she's just using them as a tool to be seen in a certain jurisdiction at a certain time in life.
Yeah, and, you know, obviously, this spiritual law that we're talking about now, which is the highest form of law, we've got to defend that faith. And I'm happy to say I'm a defender of the faith. As Murumu, you know, I've got to defend the faith of the Yidinji nation, and that's Kayabara. If I'm using a Christian name, I will uphold the Ten Commandments and have the faith of Jesus Christ. Not a problem. The thing is, though, you got to know what it is, and you got to have a personal relationship with that spirit. And we can see it in our children. We can see it, and you know we know what it is because it's a really good thing. So I think it just comes back down to that and keeping it simple now. If it's not yours, you know, I remember when one of the historical things that Cook did was that one of the first people that came here in terms of the European is they left some gifts on the beach. And the local mob didn't touch it. You know? They were smart because they knew that maybe something, we don't know these people, we shouldn't take it from them. Same thing goes with this Australian citizenship and all that stuff. It's just sitting there. If you go and touch it, you got to know what it is. You got to know who created that one. Can you touch it? Can you accept it? Can you go in there? Yeah, you can. Fair enough. That's up to you. But we're talking about the world of paper now. Can we touch their pieces of paper? No, the Yidinji piece of paper, I've got to talk to that piece of paper. If we're talking as men, the Yidinji man can talk to that man that created it. All right, let's have an agreement. All right, put it in writing. Done. Treaty. Formal agreement. Shop shut. Shop open. More like it. So, yeah, it's really strange. But anyway, that's what I'm saying, that people always come and ask me, oh, how was it? And, you know, we went down to Yorta Yorta country recently and had a yarn down there and a few other mobs. And, you know, we can talk. It sounds easy on the radio. It's not. I can tell you now that it really is. When the world revolves around money and you don't use it, it can be tough, even if you're inside of Australia. We're saying that now. When you're on this side of it, under tribal society, under the Yidinji government, we started building that world from our point of view. So we have the bank and the postal stamps and all that kind of stuff. We're developing on that, but it's not the be-all and end-all. It's not our God, you know, that piece of paper. So whether it's Yidinji money or Australian money, we don't give a rat's. It's just pieces of paper, but we know that it's there, and that's the language that some people speak. So, you know, here, have some of this one, have that one, whatever. Anyway, so I think that's my opening message for this year is the same as last year and the year before. Please, have a think about it. Have a think about this situation. The Commonwealth of Australia does need a home. That's why we want to look after it. Because, you know, some of my mates are carrying that stuff. And we're constantly reminding them that, you know, that we're trying to help out with this treaty. It's not going to come with it in Australia. It can't. Anyway, after the break, we're going to be talking about this article, this academic paper that Harry Hobbs wrote. You're listening to Black Law, Tribal Edition, right across the planet with Murumu and Ganyara.
Traveling in a brand new trophy on a mini trailer full of stories. I met a strange style, she made me nervous. She took me in and gave me money.
And she said, come from a land down under. We are the one who makes a king. We're tall and small and big and grand. We are the one who makes a king. Can you hear that thunder? You better run, you better take a run. Buying bread from a man in the wind. He was 6'4", Nagi Muke. I said, you're speaking my language. Don't wingo. He smiled and gave me a pretty mark, my name. And you come from London, London. We're gonna smile and give me thunder. Can you hear that thunder? I said to the man, are you trying to step me? Cause I come from the land of plenty. You come from the land of under. Where God is smiling, giving plunder. Can you hear that thunder? You better run, you better take cover.
Hey, welcome back to the program. We're going to get into a bit of academic stuff at the moment, so we're just going to... I've spoken to Harry Hobbs about this before, and hopefully we'll get him on the program in the next few weeks. Harry Hobbs is an academic who has written something for the Australian Journal of Political Science. He recently came up with a constitutional recognition and reform, developing an inclusive Australian citizenship through treaty. Now, this is he can only write from inside of Australia. This is his abstract here, so we'll just read a bit that, about that, and we'll discuss that. This is what is written. 8 years after the expert panel on recognising Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples in the Australian Constitution was established, institutional reform to empower Indigenous peoples in this country, inside of Australia, has not been realised. This article argues that the persistent failure to progress constitutional reform stems in part from dominant conceptions of Australian citizenship that deny Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoplehood. It follows that meaningful institutional reform is possible only if Australian citizenship is reconceptualised in a manner that makes room for the distinctive status of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples. Treaties offer a path forward to develop this new understanding of Australian identity and ground institutional reform. What he's basically saying there is that we can't really see Aboriginal people in Australia yet, so we need to change our constitution to allow Aboriginal men and women to hold our stuff, which would, for them, deliver the Article 5 of UNDRIP, which would allow Aboriginal people to participate in the state if they so choose, but that option isn't there yet. So it's interesting that we are light years ahead on this matter, and the academics are catching up now, Ganyara.
Haven't we been saying this for years now? It's the intention of the Constitution. They've got to change that intention of the document. What's the intention of the Broncos Football Club, for example? What's their intention? Is it to go and play marbles, play tiddlywinks, race cars? What is it? Or is it about a team playing football? Yeah, and winning. Enlighten me. What's the intention of the Commonwealth of Australia? It is the white Australia. We were excluded. This is what we were saying earlier in the show. We were excluded. We were never allowed in. It's good to see people like Harry write something like this to say, yes, we do have to change the intention of what Australia is so that these people can take up citizenship if they so choose. Remember, citizenship is membership, and you have a choice in membership. I have a choice to join the Broncos if I want to join the Broncos club. It's membership. I have a choice to join the Bulldogs. Join whatever I want to join. I have a choice. The minute I join, though, I make the law. I make the contract makes the law. The minute I join Australia, I've made the law. Yes, all law is applicable to me. I will abide by all Australian law. It's through the personality, and I'm holding that personality. So I'm actually pledging before God, believe it or not, this is a formal pledge, that you will obey all the laws of Australia, and you made this before God. So there must be a God there, a creator of some sort. So yes, you have to obey every, and that means if it says 60k on the 60k zone driving sign, do 60, don't do 70. If it says no drink driving. If it means pay your taxes, every penny of it. Understand what the law is about. And I agree to it all, I'll agree. No problem. But they can't force you to take up membership. Remember, this body thing, this walking around thing, is not forced to do anything. That's where the human rights are, the human's rights. They belong with that walking thing. Not in the personality, they don't belong there. But it's the intention of everything that you choose to join now. So what's the intention of Australia? Harry said we've got to change that intention, basically, to let the Australians work out, first of all, and let the Aboriginal people in. Then, as he's talking about their own Aboriginality-hood, yes, they do. Yidinji have its own statehood, as we rightfully have made that. We have our own personality. There's a lot of work to be done, and yes, the treaty is the only way of letting these two coexisting sovereignties sit side by side, and both of them must remain. And hence the reason we've been talking to these senators recently, you know, hence the reason we went down to Yorta country to let them know. They asked us, what triggers sovereignty? Nothing triggers sovereignty, you've always had it. What triggers it is your willingness to do something about it. That's why I was saying, the Aboriginal people have nothing to lose. Absolutely nothing to lose. They don't have millions of dollars at stake. A very, very small few do. But the majority of Aboriginal people do not. And I am really sad over this. They do not have a penny to bless themselves with. They live from fortnight to fortnight. And they know what that means. You know, there's no way anyone should be in that boat. No one. We should all be equal. Black, white, brindle, it doesn't matter. We're all equal. So we've got to do this. We've just got to go out and do what Yidinji has done. All Aboriginal nations must do it. Get your law back together. Revitalise it. Bring it back together. And yeah, Australia may agree to let other Aboriginal nations take part in the life of state. Wouldn't that be great? But you've got to make a choice yourself. And with whom do they do a treaty? I think it was told to us, we're the only ones so far in the correct capacity. I think that came out of pretty high up inside government, didn't it?
Oh, Prime Minister and Cabinet. So, I mean, it's not nothing to be sneezed at. Now, this is the thing also, brother, is that, you know, Australia must change its constitution. There's no ifs or buts about it. They got to do it. Because if it is, the intention is about white Australia, then they possibly could face sanctions in the future, like South Africa did. South Africa, remember, before it became a rainbow nation, a multi-pluralist, nation, they had to do that. Same with the Russian Federation. When it was the Soviet Union, they had to say, well, we got to change the constitution. And this is what, constitutions are changed all the time. But This is a big pressing issue now for Australia. It is a threat to them. It's an injury that they inflicted upon themselves. Had nothing to do with the tribal nations. They are the ones that the forefathers of Federation or whoever it was, they're the ones that wrote this document. They're the ones that said that the Aboriginal people would die out. So we know the intention of that world. And there's a lot of good Australians, don't get me wrong. But it's about the right Australia. And this is what we're talking about. So whether it's a new Prime Minister this year or next year or whatever it is, the fact will remain, whether it's a republic or still a part of the Commonwealth or whatever it is, the fact will remain that the remedy must come from the tribal nation.
It sure must. And this is a big challenge to the Australians now. Do you have the want to actually stand up and do the right thing? Like this little girl wrote in a letter, it is changing. As she wrote in that letter to the government, what is there to be proud of with basically stolen property? And she did mention the words, we stole it. Now, just like Paul Keating did, it's stolen. We murdered people. This is a little girl now. This is a girl at school. She's getting it. Do the adults now have the want? Do they have this burning desire to do something better, or would they rather stick their head in the sand and be oblivious to what this little girl is seeing? You know, it's got to be fair. Fair is fair. The Aboriginal people, the challenge is out to yous. Do yous want? Do yous actually want your law back? You know, I may seem blunt some days, but you've got to be very brutal and blunt with this. Do you want it? Yes or no? If you answer no to the question, forget about it and go about your daily life or whatever it is. Black, white or brindle, it doesn't matter. I know most Australians aren't happy with the way life is. Most white Australians. I know the black Australians aren't happy with the way life is. I know that. If you're not happy, do something about it. Don't worry about changing dates and all little minor things. Find out what the main root problem is. And the root problem is the white Australia policy. And that's why Harry wrote this thing. Maybe we're going down the wrong path for a while. Yeah, that's why you've actually got to consider what is out there that's different. Keep bashing your head against the wall, hoping to change the outcome. Isn't that a sign of insanity? Absolutely. Keep doing the same thing over and over, hoping for a different thing, different result. No way. It can't work. You're going to get the same result every time. So if this little girl can see it, we can see it. The government can see it. What's wrong? Maybe it's the Australians just don't want to see it. Do they have it in them? Or are they just a bunch of girls that will just go to water every time a little bit of pressure is applied to them? Or do they really have this Australian drive in them? You know, the old Australian drive, we are Australian type stuff. Do they have it in them to sort out this mess? Or would they rather be, you know, we'll let someone else do it. It's easier. We'll just go and watch TV. That mentality. Are they that watered down now? Or how about they really stand up and be Australian, be proper Australian and do things properly this time and do it correctly and go about getting Australia established to be the nation, the leading nation in the world to do this? And they need the help of the tribes to do this. They really do.
Well, that brings an end to our first program of the year, brother. I think thanks very much for that. I think people got the message there. Let's hope so. And look, you don't have to agree with us, because I know that a lot of people don't, but that's fine. You know, we're happy to talk, and I don't think we'll be invited on live television programs to discuss these type of issues, or because I think it's a bit difficult for a lot of the academics and for the politicians of Australia and the ones that perpetuate the Australian world. But anyway, that's all right. You know, we serve one that is the creator of everything, and that's the main thing to remember here. That's what sovereignty is all about, in my opinion. And we might catch you next week, eh, Ganyara?
Hey, yeah, thanks for having us on, and it's always a pleasure to be here. Thanks.
Okay, Gary, guys, see ya. May God's peace be upon you.